people weren't here for my class yesterday, but the people who weren't here for my class yesterday, how many of you know I was on the Dave Letterman show? Rudy knows.
I remember hearing.
You remember I was on the Dave Letterman? How many don't know I was on the Dave Letterman show? Okay. So I'll tell you the story. I was in a bad mood, and I was in Boston. And I decided to walk to the park, and I was wearing a hoodie. And it was kind of like saffron, you know, yellowish, more yellowish of a hood. So I was walking in the park. I remember I was really in a bad mood. And Dave Letterman was having a show where he was hiding in the park, seeing people and guessing what occupation they were. So when he saw me, he said, a traffic cone. That's the part you missed yesterday. And then I thought that's good because I love to control traffic, especially at my program. So when I said it yesterday, I reorganized. I can't take it that these two seats are in front, but not you, because you sit next to your daughter, so you move up there.
Okay.
Come over here.
Over here.
And then okay. Everyone else move up.
Tiffany, save me my seat.
Oh,
is there any clips on YouTube?
That you know. Or I can fake it and say, what's YouTube? Okay. Back there, move up a little bit. Everyone can see me, though. That's very important. Okay. So, I think today what I want to do is, at least I'll state my purpose, if I ever get to that. Well, my purpose is to speak on Krishna Lila and show how it works, that it has deep philosophical imports. But when it's couched in story, it opens your heart for those points. And then next Sunday, no, the Sunday after next, I'll be at Rati Krishna and Kaveri's, anybody, and I'll continue that, the Krishna Lila. But first, prayers. What I want to do is I want to really create rasa. So rasa is a mixture of the stories and the holy name. Because what the stories do is, what are stories? They're the stories of the person whose name you're chanting. So we saw in Gambira how Lord Chaitanya, wow, we're getting such a great crowd today. The Kalpa Viksha's whole family of 35 people.
They're going to come around back.
They're
going around back.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think they're going around back.
Wow, what a great turnout today, huh? Okay. So, in the Gambira, you have to understand that Lord Chaitanya's life is called Acharya Lila. I heard that term. He sets the example of how to become a devotee. It's God becoming a devotee. So you want to become a devotee, then God set the example. And at the very, very end of his life, the very, very end of his life, he was qualified. He was always qualified, but generally it takes to the end of your life. That's in the Gita. Yesham Twantakatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Tevandvamoha Nirmukta Vajanti Maham Jihavrataha. That Yesham Twantakatam Papam. When you practice spiritual life, then what happens? You practice austerity. And what does austerity mean? It means despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, you engage in your service. It doesn't mean this rigid, hard thing. It means you're available to bhakti and you do bhakti. And what's the austerity? Your mind is telling you so many things and you neglect them. But what is the mind telling you? The mind is telling you what is dictated by the past impressions in your consciousness. Your hates and likes, not based on what is good to please Krishna, but based on the false ego. So what happens is, they'll come out, and when you neglect them, then the impressions close. So if you keep on practicing devotional service, then all your sinful desires, and I'm not talking about even the gross ones, I'm just talking your desires, sin, basically defined as not wanting to be a devotee, they keep on coming out of the heart, and the samskaras become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And those samskaras that are dictating to you, you know, do this, don't do that, do this, do that, when you're supposed to be performing devotional service, will especially be activated when you sit down in a solitary place and begin to chant Hare Krishna. In the Gita, if Arjuna went to a solitary place to just do his bhajan, this is what it would be like. That no good rascal. I hate that person. I can't stand it. They usurp my family. He's a little more advanced, but for us it would be full bloom. You know, he did this to me. Why him? Lamenting, pankering, the whole thing. Right? So it's hard to do that. Therefore, in our spiritual practice, bhakti is so nice that it takes our desires and gives us and allows them to engage in devotional service. So it doesn't increase the egotistical part, rather it becomes purified of that. So in devotional service, we have, you know, so much color, so much taste, so much sound, in a way. But despite all that, there's other things. But when you engage in service and you're fixed in devotional service, and then what happens at the end of your life, when you basically become completely useless for anything else by the mercy of Krishna, then you can sit. And then what is our process? Our process is, by focusing on God, we feel God. We actually feel God, and that's called prema, the feelings and relationship. We actually can feel God. And that's how the process of bhakti works. But the more you're concentrated, the more you feel about it. So the thing that really links us to God is called sambandha, a relationship with God. So how do you develop a relationship with God? We are actually chanting and chanting the name of your friend, chanting the name of your lover, chanting the name of your child, Krishna. How do you actually develop that? You have to hear the stories of the person whose name you are chanting. And you have to worship the form of the person whose name you are chanting. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. Seems pretty similar to what Prabhupada gave us, right? All those deities, we develop relationship with those deities. And then the name of the deity we chant. So Lord Chaitanya was sitting in the Gambhira. The focus was the name, but to increase the absorption in the name, he heard the stories. I'm just figuring in my mind if I can figure out the questions Gail is going to ask. I know what you're already asking. I'm sorry too.
Okay.
There's a question, because there was a skip of logic this small. What's this? You want to give me a break? This is small. It's not an absolute logic. What's this? Maybe you didn't catch it.
No, I didn't.
I agree. I mean, it's more simple faith. The simple faith, right? That's always good, right? Hare Krishna. So, so that's the purpose. So you hear the Bhagavatam. We were talking about this morning also, and you develop that sambandha. And that makes the chanting more and more relevant. But I'm saying, God is so nice that he takes these samskaras we have and uses them in Krishna consciousness. But still, even within that, we have that natural austerity. And that purifies us because the desires come out. If you act on them, then something happens. You get a double dose because it creates another impression in the consciousness of the same thing you're attached for. And if it's sinful, you get a reaction for it that comes back. That's why it's so nice to have a regulated practice, and so that's what I'm going to be doing today. Om Vijnana Tilanasya Namah Shalakaya Chakshurundatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tati Svapatantikam Panchakopatrupyascha Kripasindrupayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Chaitanya, Ramanijananda, Sri Advaita Vidyadhar, Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm really getting into the Kaliya pastimes. There's certain pastimes in the Bhagavatam that I particularly appreciate because they're so enriched with philosophy also. And that I feel I can speak in the most engaging way. So the Kaliya pastime. And I'll start with one of the first scenes. And one of the first scenes is that the cowherd boys madly rush ahead of Krishna. Madly rush ahead of Krishna to drink the water of the Jamuna, which is a violation of etiquette. I think I talked about this yesterday, that, you know, I was talking yesterday how words become impregnated with the history of their use. And if you have a certain bad experience of a particular activity, even though the activity is not bad, but the application of the activity is bad, then the name gets a bad name. So another one is ritual. Because ritual has this thing of just mechanical, thoughtless activity. But don't tell that to Confucius. Because what Confucius said is what real ritual is the activities we do to conform ourselves to something higher. So that we don't just act by our impulses. But there's a culture, and I read in one book the definition of culture, which I like. If I can pronounce the word properly, it would be good too. But culture. So, right, Sri Rupa? That's the way we pronounce it normally. Beautiful, beautiful language. So, but what ritual means is the things, what culture means is how you organize your environment to affect the consciousness, to create impressions to help you relate better, communicate better, and learn better. So a person that grew up in a culture where how your behavior was formed, that was really the proper rituals, the proper way you move, to put your body in a place where your consciousness moves in a way to learn better, to relate better, to communicate better. They become impressions, and then you meet a cultured person, and they immediately know how to relate. I'll give you an example. In Vrindavan, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, in the early days, I had the service of inviting the senior guests. And there were pretty amazing guests, like Acharya Prabhaka Mishra. Anybody know who he was? Prabhupada's first disciple before he came to America, who was a Sanskrit scholar in Jhansi. So he would come. And so I was going to invite Narayan Maharaj. And that's very significant because he did the puja, the ritual when Prabhupada took sannyas. And when Prabhupada needed things sent from India, he's the one that sent kartals and things like this. And Prabhupada lives in his mutt, his temple, for some time. So I came in and I invited him and I said, please speak. He said, what will I speak? What can I speak? And I said, but you knew Prabhupada. He said, I didn't know Prabhupada. He said, just like if you come in the temple and you just talk with your friend, do you know Krishna? Do you know Krishna? If you just come in the temple and talk with your friend, do you know Krishna? So I didn't know Prabhupada. I said, but, well, why don't you just tell the things that you saw at that time that gave you indication of what he would be in the future? So he said two things. One is that he was very bold. And he began to describe some of the plays that Prabhupada would write. One was a spoof on the Ramakrishna mission. Because they were, they were saffron, but they ate chicken. So the title of that, he told me the title of that drama that Prabhupada wrote, and you'll correct me, Govardhan, how do you say chicken in Murki?
Yeah.
It was the Murki mission. And then he wrote a spoof on the sannyasis in the Gaudiya Math who weren't living the proper way. And one said the lead character of the sannyasi was named Bhojan Vilas, the form of material enjoyment. And then he talked about Prabhupada writing this heavy letter to the president of India. So he said, I talk about how he was bold. And then he said, I would talk about his ability to relate. He said, when a senior person came in, Prabhupada was very humble and very grave. And he said, when a junior person came in, Prabhupada almost could be childlike, but very, very affectionate. And when someone was his peer, he knew how to open his heart and exchange. So this culture, it's very nice when someone, and don't get, the etiquette is not, like I know when people first come to the temple, you know, where do I put my shoes? Do I stand wrong? Do I do this? I mean, that's not the essence. The essence is the right intention. But when you see cultured people, you can learn a lot of how they behave, how they, you know, how they talk. It's. I even might write a book on that. In fact, I started called A Guide to Vaishnava Behavior. based on the CC. There's so many examples. For example, Lord Chaitanya in the Gambhira. He was such separation, but he wouldn't cry during the day, because it would cause too much pain to his disciples. So such a nice example how a Vaishnava is so considerate of others. Right? So he's the guru, but he's very concerned. He's not just thinking himself, he's thinking about how his behavior affects others. So there's such nice consideration. There's so many incredible examples. Or I like another example, when Raghunath Das Goswami went to take sannyas, not went to join Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya sent him back home and told him to act as an ordinary pounds, shillings and pence person. That's the English currency. So it's a nice example that renunciation should be tested. And then what was his example when he was back? His family got into a dispute and he expertly solved it. So another example, renunciation is not for losers, because you can't do anything in the material world. He was very, very competent. And then there's another nice example in that. These all come out in the CC. The other example is, you know, finally, he was so depressed. So he was telling his parents, if you love me so much, then why won't you let me do what I want? Why don't you take me to Vrindavan? I'm sorry. I'll give you 2 years. She's got to visit.
Fair.
When Champa comes. So, he's telling his parents, like a depressed youth, why won't you let me be happy? Why don't you let me do what I want? Now, he was actually qualified. It's not that everyone, I do what I want, I join the temple, I give up everything, you know, whatever. He was actually qualified. But then, he went to see his father. He said, Lord Nityananda is nearby, you know, send your men, the gods with me. Lord Nityananda is nearby. So he went to see with Lord Nityananda, and he was in the background. Even though he was such a big person, he didn't force his way to the center. The Vaishnava does not want to be in the center, because that's the one place where you can't see Krishna, because he's there. So he comes in, and he's in the background, but they recognize him. Why? This is like, it's Bill Gates' son is here. You know, it's a guy who's like very wealthy, richest man in West Bengal. And there's Raghunath Das, So Lord Chaitanya calls him and says, you're a thief. I will punish you. So why do you call him a thief? For two reasons. One is because the thief always lurks in the background. But the other reason he called him a thief is because he tried to go to God without guru. God is the property of the Vaishnavas. He went directly to Lord Chaitanya. So he sent them back. So that was a very important message. Then he said, I will punish you. Which is also very nice, because in a real cultured thing, love is expressed very subtly and indirectly, because it's more powerful. That's why poetry is used to express bhakti. It's expressed indirectly. So they say, like a candle in a room, if you open the door, it becomes less bright. So they talk like this sometimes. I'm a thief, I'm going to punish you. But actually, what was the punishment? It was the benediction. He was going to serve all the Vaishnavas and feed all the Vaishnavas, which is also a beautiful point. Because that, how do you remove your obstacles in devotional service? You serve the Vaishnavas and Krishna becomes pleased. And here's another very interesting point. That there was, it was so crowded, but there was a platform for the distinguished people to take the feast. It was so crowded, people had to eat standing in the river. But the platform had two types of people, Swajatiya and Barabara Lok. Swajatiya means the intimate associates, and Barabara Lok means the big people. It's not that some very distinguished person comes and he gets the ghee lamp last because he's not initiated. And we talked about this hierarchy is respected in a proper society, because hierarchy means where wisdom and knowledge comes down. So any position of hierarchy is respected and promoted in a society where the people were competent enough not to abuse that power. And as soon as they abuse a power, then you hate hierarchy, you hate authority. But it had a function, of disseminating wisdom by faith. So the Barabara Lok, in fact, when King George the Fifth, when King George V passed away, they were fighting for Indian independence, Bhakti Siddhanta put him on the front page of the Harmonist to honor him. He respected the leader of the country at the time, because also the country was well managed, and it was protecting and facilitating his spiritual growth. That was not opposed to it. Omegana to Baranda. Okay, now the point is, it's a very relevant point. Why they went first? Because in the ritual, if you have reverence or respect for someone, just like when I went to the Madhurum retreat, so I got my plate. And everybody sat there, but Kaveri would not eat, because she thought maybe I would want seconds. And she didn't want to take before I, this is, she grew up in that culture. But what does that do? That culture facilitates relationship of student and teacher. So the culture actually has a purpose. So you don't, you know, so that, you know, it's the teacher first, you know, or whatever it is, the respected parents. There's different ways that there's, facilitates love and then learning. And you can see even in that relationship, it facilitates learning, it facilitates communication, the love. So they rushed in first, breaking the etiquette. Why? Because it facilitated the Leela. And Krishna played it out nicely. First, he had a big forest fire, and they were caught in the forest fire. Krishna saved them the forest fire. But Krishna, before he swallowed the forest fire, he had all the cowherd boys close their eyes. Why, Madhavi, with your big mathematical brain? You're smart, though. Why would he have them close your eyes first? You'll never get this. I'm helping you. You see, cut her down a little bit. Build her up. Now you got to live with her. Now I cooperate too. Okay, here's the the reason why. Because previously, Krishna ate dirt, right? Remember, his mother looked at the mouth and saw all the universes, but she was furious with him, right? She said, Fe. Okay, David Greenberg knows what that means, of course.
Yeah.
Means disgusting. In a local vernacular spoken in Eastern Europe amongst people. Probably go, fe. Disgusting. And then they do something more disgusting. They spit on their handkerchief and wash it. Disgusting. What we had to live through. But the reason. You don't do that, Kishori.
No, my mother did that.
Okay.
And it grossed me out.
So, why did they have him close the mouth? Because then the mother punished. So Krishna thought, but I swallowed dirt, my God. I swallowed fire. And the coward boys, they'll, you know, young kids are, they tell, right? They like to give others a try. You see what, you know? You see what my sister did? So Krishna said, and they were so thirsty. But then Krishna said, okay, let's go to the Jamuna. But he took him in a long, long path. So by the time they got to the Jamuna, they were so thirsty that it overcame their good sense and they drank the water. And it really had to overcome their good sense because that water was boiling and poisonous and looked like a looped mass preparation in an Indian ashram kitchen where they put too much turmeric, coriander leaves, and dirty bay leaves. And it turns like a green color. So they then they died in the water and they just collapsed. Now here's another interesting point. I think this is very important to understand Leela. And it may be my next Monday morning greetings because I'm thinking of this point, is that Krishna did not know. Krishna thought I had lost my friends. And why did Krishna think? What? Because he's God, he knows everything. But it's described, he can't be God unless he's the reservoir of all pleasure. And you can't be the reservoir of all pleasure unless you have surprises. I told the story, you know, I didn't go to my oldest brother's wedding. I didn't go to my younger brother's wedding. And now that I got older, you know, my mother's older. This was actually 10 years ago, maybe 6. Yeah, my brother's now, my brother now is 62, my younger brother, 61. My mother said, I don't have a surprise 50th birthday. For, you know, can you please? I said, oh, okay, I'll come. What time's the dinner? She told me the time of dinner, so I came after the dinner. I told her, I'm coming at this time. And I did a program in Gopi Shore's house that night. So it was in the same area, because my mother and brother live in New Jersey, and I come. I come to this big catering hall. And now I'll tell some of my mother's stories.
Thank you.
So my mother is so powerful that she has the head of this huge catering thing waiting outside in the rain for the guru to come. And then they bring me in and it's like 50 people and it's a long table. And it's right after dinner, you know, and they're gonna have the speeches and things, and the doors open up, and Hare Krishna. Chanted, you know, everything. People are looking, who is this? And then one lady asked my mother, what's his philosophy? And my mother gives like a Woody Allen-esque Jewish mother disconnect answer. You can't figure out what the answer has to do with the question. So then, what's your son's philosophy? Well, he's not the Pope, he's like a cardinal. and then ask the next question. Well, where does he live? He has mansions in every continent. I walk in. I gave many classes over the weekend, so we'll get back to the water. So, oh yeah, here's the point. So there was a surprise. My brother did not know. Surprise. And if the highest reality is rasa, and rasa is love to its height, it requires drama and emotion. There's no drama if you know everything. Drama happens when you're surprised and you don't, and you're worried and you're fearful and you're so there's drama. So Krishna is also experiencing this love for his friends, his close friends. He's just, and this point, I've actually been listening to this translation of the commentaries of my godbrother, Srila Radha Govinda Swami, who was really the best in Bhagavad Gita. And he explained, it's a commentary, a Vallabha commentary, by a person named Hari Shari, that the tears, Krishna began to cry, and the tears were a manifestation of the compassion in his heart. And that brought the cowherd boys to life. And then they immediately came to life. And when they came, immediately came to life, then what a scene. You're not only saved, but it's Krishna. And Krishna is the most beautiful person, unlimitedly. Everyone's attracted to Krishna. You just look at Krishna's face. He's so attractive. But this is the point. And I just thought, it was a commentary, I was analyzing, this is the essence of spiritual life. Because we advance by mercy, and mercy is the compassion of someone's heart for us. And when does compassion and mercy come? When there is need. So if you're proud, you can't feel or get mercy. And that's what the chanting of Hare Krishna is. It's the expression of that need that attracts God's mercy. So it's such an important point of what bhakti is. Bhakti is the path of mercy. Because you can never achieve perfection on your own. You can never achieve perfection on your own. It's just to control the mind. To control the mind. To that level of degree, to reach samadhi. An hour and a half with not any other thought in the mind. Not even a conception of what's outside your mind. Because you can come to this platform of dhyana before samadhi where the consciousness is described like ghee, that oil is flowing, where there's no other thought, but there's a conception that there's something outside. In samadhi, there's no conception. That's impossible to achieve. No yogis do that by meditating on candles. They all chant, they all meditate on mantras. Because a mantra is not a prop, it's a person that can reciprocate with you and allow you to achieve more than you can by your effort. But it's invoking the mercy It's acting, and this Boryajampa who says it so nicely, acting in such a way that the heart of a Vaishnava melts. And we can think just in ordinary terms, what melts our hearts in relationship? It's always some kind of service and some kind of humility, some kind of legitimate dependence. And then the other point that I thought from this story that I think is really significant, and it's related, is then Krishna sees the tree, but the tree is still alive. Now, it's astounding that the tree is still alive because the water is so poisonous. There's a term in Sanskrit that I know in, I'll show you my Spanish, in Colombia. Improving. The first 5 years I thought it was Colombia. Colombia. There's a plant. I was walking on this one farm and they said, don't touch this plant. You know, it was a narrow path because it's a powder that, what?
Floripondium.
You have some experience.
No.
So, it's this powder that they throw on people and it puts them out. But one thing people do sometimes is they cook it. If it's liquid, they cook it down. They cook it down so it becomes more poisonous. So that was Kaliya's poison. And in the middle of the lake, the river, it's like boiling. And because the water carries humidity, that's why we like to be by the ocean, then everything for 200 meters was dead. But this one tree. Now, there's different acharyas have different, maybe Garuda put a drop of nectar. But another acharya said that somehow this tree understood I wish you brought your madanga. It would have been great. Okay. There's room also here. Yeah, thanks. But great to see both of you. So it was so poisonous. It was so poisonous that everything was, so why this tree? They said that this tree, this Kadamba tree, had this premonition that Krishna was going to climb it. See, because Krishna liked to have this game with Kadamba trees. But this was the biggest Kadamba tree. So he said, certainly Krishna may. And because Kadamba trees would get really tall. And what the game was, is a cowherd boy would go by the tree and take a stick. And then throw it through his legs. And then start to climb the tree. And then the cowherd boy who caught the stick would have to run back to the tree and touch Krishna. Or touch whoever was going up that tree. But Krishna, somehow or other, he was setting it all up and said, I don't know, it's not this number of trees, it's nothing. You know, by the bank of the Jamuna. So it had this premonition and it gave it bliss. And I thought this was a really psychological point, that the bliss inoculated the tree from poison. This was the lila. So I thought that this is in terms of human relationships, that the impressions of love we have in our heart by healthy relationships inoculates us from the poison of the world. And what's the poison of the world? It doesn't move according to our attachments. And sometimes small attachments, it doesn't move according to our small attachments, and sometimes big attachments, it doesn't move according to our big attachment. That's tragedy. Tragedy when, so the world is just always, we all experience it, you know. Chant and be happy, but the chant is here and the be happy is here. It's a big space. Big space in between. So you have to understand things deeply, not just on face value. But the world moves and it goes one way and it goes another and it goes another. And now I'll tell the joke. I told it before, but if you haven't heard it, but this was a joke in my household. There's an old Jewish guy. And he gets back to Godhead. And he's kind of busy, you know, he's running the universe. I just want to ask him one question. Now come on, one question. Amor, I made it this far. Give me a break. He said, okay, God comes out and said, what? The Jewish guy says, is it true that we are the chosen people? And God said, yes. And he goes, would you mind choosing someone else next time? So the poison of the world, we all know it. We all know the poison of the world. And it gets heavy. But what inoculates us? It's the impressions of care and affection that we have in our consciousness. That's what inoculates us. And you know, that study in Harvard is so relevant. In 1940, they took 400 people, 200 from Harvard and 200 from South Boston. I can't tell you what South Boston is like, but it's not like Harvard. So they got a variety of people. And they did a sociological study, very detailed. Only Harvard can do this. It's still going on. This is about, of the 400 people, there's about 50 that are in their 90s that are still alive. So at the age of 70, they look back. What was the main factor that caused people's good health? So exercise was up there, diet was up there, but the main factor was the number of quality relationships they had in their life. That's so. Then Krishna climbs on that tree, and it's a little branch, but Krishna cross somehow it doesn't fall. And then Krishna, you know, he ties his belt, and then he jumps in the water, and he manifests his Aishvarya Shakti. His Aishvarya Shakti is his power. So when he hits the water, it's like a mountain. And some people say that the Jamuna got blocked up at that time, that you very, very well could call it an ocean, it was so big. So it blocked. So it created such a sound that the Kaliya serpent became disturbed. And you see, Krishna wants to set the example that you have to be very, very careful to punish people. Especially publicly, because there'll be a backlash. So there has to, it should really be demonstrated. It should be really demonstrated that they deserve it. That's why Krishna, all his friends were killed. Now he's going to demonstrate another thing, how not to treat a guest. And how evil Kaliya was, because Krishna, he came in, okay, it shook up the water, and then Kaliya became like furious, And this really is the symptom of material consciousness, because, you know, I have a PhD in sense gratification, so I'm studying it very, very deeply. And I can't, not the study of it, I'm pure. I don't touch money or anything. So the science of sense gratification is superiority. The sensual pleasure just says we enjoy more than others. The real thing is that superiority. So we want to enjoy, but we want the feeling of superiority. And superiority is what? It's enjoyment, right? I am superior because the world is moving around my desires. Right? How do I know? I wanted a big house, I have it. How do I know? I want a trophy wife, I have it. How do I know? I have so much money, I want it. How do I know? I have this plane, how do I know it? I'm this political post, I'm that political post, I'm that, I take over the next country. It just never, never ends. So there's a territorial sense of superiority. You want power. Why do you want power? So you can control. And why do you want to control? So I can move things according to my desires and show people, look at me. And you become very territorial. And therefore, if anyone is using something that belongs to you, it becomes an issue. And the classical example I give is the Hell's Angels bench on Third Street. There's a door that's the Hell's Angels, and then there's a door that's my friends Ben and Beckfrist. And never the twain shall meet. In between is that bench. And the people going to, you know, bed and breakfast, you know, some people from the Netherlands coming over to some Japanese tourists, you know, they don't know much about New York, what that symbol means, Hell's Angels, people up at the fire. And they sit on the bench. You know, they're trying to control themselves. You know, the bench, the territory, and what to speak of. They put their, they also have this traffic cone stuff, and they put it in front so no one can park. It's completely illegal, right? But they put it in front so no one can park. And oh my God, if someone touches one of their cones,
and that killed one.
You too.
They left, though, right?
What?
They're gone.
They because they bought it for nothing, and now it's in the most rich neighborhood. They got $15-20 million, and they bought a church in Long Island.
Yeah.
Right? They're good guys, though.
The Rock Mantra thing, didn't they do security in San Francisco?
What's that?
In San Francisco, when Prabhupada went, they did
security.
Yeah.
But the reason they made them the security is another story. So that territorial consciousness, and that's the demon, so Kaliya. And then, you know, Krishna jumps in. And that day, you know, the premonition was Krishna. He didn't wear many heavy jewelry. But he was so beautiful, and nothing became disturbed, and he's gargling the water, and having come out from the middle space in his teeth, doing like backstrokes, and he's a little child. So, you know, so what happened if a beautiful little child, you know, entered into the wrong house, right? It's innocent. And what to speak? This is another part of the culture. Atithi Bhagavan. The guest is God. That's part of the culture. I was at Tiffany's house yesterday, and she moved out of the master bedroom for the guru. Of course, but it's not an American thing. Moved out of the master bedroom, my own private bathroom, and this bed, my whole body sunk into it. I was so I was so comfortable in that day. And I was speaking to Al about it, and he said, that's maybe why you had the dream of the boat, the Jamuna sinking. Because that night I had a dream. It wasn't that bad. I was in a boat in the Jamuna. And all of a sudden, I wasn't in a boat in the Jamuna. The whole boat went under the water. I wasn't fearful. I got up. I said, okay, I'll tread water. I swear. It's because I went to sleep. And was, oh. I got a boat. Whoa. A little different effect. But a Titi Bhagavan, the guest is gone. So he violated that. Material consciousness. What time is it? Oh, I got a watch now. I got a watch. Okay, we still have more time. Okay, I may change the subject, but that's the Krishna. Oh, no, I know what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to ask, anybody remember any point that impressed them in the lecture that stuck within them? Yeah.
The point I remember is that, because I had a question about it, is that the boys breached etiquette by running ahead of Krishna. And that stuck in my mind because, you know, when you're among friends, there isn't this hierarchy.
Right.
So how could they breach etiquette?
It wasn't exactly, well, I would say this is, there's there's Aishwarya and Madhurya are mixed together in the Bhagavatam. Madhurya means the sweetness of Krishna and the power of Krishna. And Aishwarya, or that opulence, is very important for bhakti. Even in Krishna Lila, and I'll explain that. Madhva Acharya explains that the mood of dasya, or the mood of servitudeship, is the pot where the flavor and liquid of all other rasas are held. And that dasya is inspired by Aishwarya, by some type of superiority. So within even the Krishna Lila, for us, first for us, whenever there's Madhurya, then mixed in, we see that Krishna is also God, to keep that mood of servitude so we can actually appreciate it. Now, in the spiritual world, it's a different flavor, but still, there's always hints of it. Even, I was reading in the Rasa dance, when Krishna disappeared from the Rasa dance and all the gopis were looking for him, they were imitating all Krishna's pastimes, killing the demons. So there's a sense of Aishwarya, a sense, but it never covers the Madhurya. I'll give you an example how it never covers the Madhurya. Okay, a little Jewish mother type movie. Okay. The shelter band visited my house, but I'm with my mother. Right, so Raghunath came, and then, so I had to talk to one of them, so I brought him in the room I stay, right? But then they were kind of getting late for the concert because I was talking, and then my mother said, what's wrong? He said, well, you know, we have to go, but we don't want to disturb him. My mother just walked out to the door and went like this. Dennis! So she respects that I'm guru and all these things, but it doesn't cover her motherly bhav. Well, I have mansions in many continents. Oh, cardinal. It doesn't cover. So the example is given in India when you boil milk. There used to be no gas stoves, so you can't just pull the wood out. You know, you're making 100 kilos of sweet rice, and it's boiling. You throw some straw in the milk, and it prevents it from boiling over. And the straw disappears in the milk. The straw disappears in the milk, and then it rises, and then it disappears, and then it rises. So there's just an occasional bit of Aishwarya, occasional sense that Krishna is better. And they respect him. They respect him for his beauty. Even when he goes to the forest with Balaram, they're all afraid, you know, that Krishna's going to climb a tree, maybe he'll get hurt. Krishna is the center.
But for Aishwarya to manifest as the voice holding back, in that Leela,
it's not the Aishwarya, but it's the sense that of Krishna is the center. Krishna is the top person. He's our friend. We'll crawl on his back, mm-hmm. but they're focused on Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else remember anything that's a little bit easier for me to answer? Great.
Why
shall we have Kripa?
I know. you said that without drama, like you need drama to cultivate.
Rasa, there's bhava. Bhava means your love for Krishna at a very high level. Bhava means your love for Krishna at a very high level. Rasa is when the bhava comes to prema. It's like the sun rays and the sun. The sun rays can be very hot, but it's not condensed. The sun is condensed. So prema is completely condensed. It's completely powerful. So the way that, and Krishna described in the Upanishads, that the spiritual world is rasa vaisaha, I am that rasa. God is the enjoyer. What is he enjoying? The highest love. But how is he enjoying it? In Leela. And what happens in the Leela? There's drama. And when there's drama, what happens? Oh, Krishna is in the, you know, Krishna the coils of the serpent, right? What happens to the love of the mothers? They, you know, their fear comes and it all increases the love. But Krishna's also enjoying the love. So he also has these emotions. It's amazing enough, he also has these emotions that bring his love to the height. So one, and part, emotion requires that you're not all-knowing. Like, you know, like I was with my, you know, my father was very calm. So everybody else in the house was freaking out. Right? And my father would be, you know, what seems to be the problem? and he had this confidence, we'll find it. Right? We'll find it. There'll be no problem. You know, so it's kind of a little bit more all-knowing. My Jewish mother. A little bit more. So it's like, I remember also when I grew up, this one funeral director, he had the craziest son. He was always getting the craziest fights. And he would always come out, right, with his pipe, right? What seems to be the problem? You know, his kids, you know. What seems to be the problem? So there has to be drama. And the spiritual world, we say it's a drama, where love is heightened. That's what Krishna is. Leela is. And there it is, my friends die. So what happens to his affection for his friends? Otherwise, how can Krishna experience compassion? Right? Tragedy, all these feelings. But somehow with God, he has both at the same time, because he has inconceivable potency. So he's all-knowing and he's forgetful at the same time. Whatever facilitates love, God has his own shaktis, his own potencies. Anybody else remember anything?
That we can't reach our highest spiritual goals on our own. So if you're trying to focus just on a candle or some object, it's not the same as focusing on a mantra who's a person who can really bring us to that point.
It's not just a prop. Therefore, it's the path of grace. And the Gita says, one of the key verses, Tesham satati yukdanam bhajatam priti purvakam the dhammi buddhi yoga. The one who works for me faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they can come back. And we even see that in service. When people dedicate themselves to service, they're able to achieve way beyond what you could think and just their intellect or abilities. So you can talk about that.
I like how Narayan Maharaj said these 2 points about Srila Prabhupada, that he was bold and could relate to everybody that could predict that he would be so successful.
Yeah, and actually just see how he was able to relate. You know, a lot of times there's generational gaps. In Prabhupada, there was 2 generations. Prabhupada was born the same year as my grandfather. There's 2 generational. And what to speak of cultural gaps. And so it was his ability to relate and how he can attract this crowd of Dira, Dira, Janaprio, Priyakaro, Nimatsa, the gentle and the ruffians. He was able to, you know, Gail will remember this. I don't know who else will remember this, but in Tawako, many, many years ago, you know, we had a lot of these young Westerners there. And, you know, Indians, they sometimes have a different culture from, you know, young, straight-edged, tattooed, you know. But there was one old man that became their friend and their confidant. And a very amazing person. He was a doctor in Mathura, 1950. And he actually composed poems in glorification of all the young people that would come. And they loved him so much. To this day, anybody else remember Krishna Mohan? Well, you remember Krishna Mohan? Wow. Actually, his 2 daughters, they came to my class in Vrindavan this year. And I was given a Bhagavatam class, and we just began to talk with their daughters. And they were talking about growing up in Mathura, how their father would take them to the Jamuna, you know, and on boat rides. And they would roll, it was the class, with everything I said. They were just so full of life. What's it, Krishna, Priya? And her older sister. Just amazing. So that ability to relate. And that's another, you know, we're talking about that language. Each generation has a language and associates different judgments to particular words. I just thought I was going to use one word, rank out. Who knows what a rank out is? Because you heard it yesterday.
No! I grew up with that term.
Oh, that's right. You're also from Brooklyn. My birth. I forget you had such a high birth. Yeah, okay. So it's Brooklynese. Rank out means to put down. Rank out is, you know, you're so low that, you know. Okay, any other remembrances from the class by anybody? Yes?
Can you expand on the point when you're saying
that? You have to speak louder because my hearing aids are broke.
Can you expand on the point about how we want to have our desires fulfilled so that we can be in control?
Yeah. Anybody ever tell you you're wrong? Right? Your parents ever tell you you're wrong? And I know your reaction. Yes, dear mother and father. No, right? What to speak if a friend tells you you're wrong? Right? We argue and tooth and nail. No, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Why? Because that compromises your superiority and your control. And we fight. It's so ingrained in us, and we fight. So that shows you how much that false ego is about enjoyment, about control, and how much we revere how we live our life, you know, in that way. It's really great when someone says, yes, yes, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. One time, Krishna Das Babaji, Prabhupada's godbrother, Paramahamsa, a Christian, you know, and one Bengali godbrother of mine told me this story about him. You know, he wasn't in any of the particular Gaudiya Mathas when they broke up, so he'd go around from Gaudiya Math to Gaudiya Math. We would visit him in the Gaudiya Math by the train station, and sometimes he was in the Gaudiya Math by Dimlitan. So, you know, let's not be idealistic. We call it Pollyanna. Oh, a spiritual institution. Why are they arguing? Why is there controversy? Everything should be peace and love. We should be peace and love first. It's the way the world is. Get over it. It's the way the world is. We just try to be our best, but don't be surprised. You know, people come to the world, conditioned souls, they have their desires, they have their ego. So some guy suspected he was going from temple to temple, spreading rumors. So someone said, oh, you know, you think you're so advanced, you chant the holy name all day, but we know you just go from one temple to the next temple and, you know, just spread it there. That's why you're here one day and then 2 days you're here and then you're telling it. And he said, everyone thought I was advanced, but now they know my true nature. Even if he didn't do something wrong, he didn't mind. Haridas Thakur, when he tried to bewilder Krishna in Brahma Vimohan Leela, creator of the universe, and then he had to take birth as Haridas Thakur so he could have that bliss of no status, the bliss of no position, the bliss of not trying for everything we are fighting tooth and nail in this world for. Why? Now I'll make a quality. We should be successful, except we have our desires. They have to be fulfilled. But we know what the ego is. Right? Yes, mother and dear mother and father. Your words of wisdom have inspired me. Are there any other instructions? Okay. Why are you laughing, Govardhan? Your father's laughing. Okay, any other things?
Can I go again?
Let's see if there's anybody else.
I was waiting.
I'm just waiting patiently. I see it. Anybody have any questions? a reflection. Yeah.
I was just wondering what Gail's question was.
You're in trouble.
She's embarrassed.
Thank you, Rita.
Okay. Yes. What am I going to do in the class? What was the point?
I just found it interesting that, and I didn't catch the connection between public chastisement and Vedakati said that's why the boys had to be killed.
Okay, the commentary is that Krishna, besides the Leela, is also giving instructions. Mm-hmm. And he was going to punish this Kaliya who was living in the lake. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to make it publicly demonstrated what a demon it was, so that when he killed the demon, he wanted to set that example that we're very careful of punishing anybody unless there's cause. And if it's and if it's public, the cause should be known. Everything I make up, she questions. When I try to get a little creative, I always get in trouble with you. Lee, last one. What point did you like?
When you were saying how, with the power of voice, that Krishna had them close their eyes to suck in the fire, and then you had mentioned that it was because he didn't want to get in trouble. I thought it was in the sense that, like, he didn't want to show that aspect of, you know, Ishvara to the coward boys.
That may be another reason. That may be another reason. I think that's also there. What do you got, disciples here now? You got Ruddy in the corner helping you here. Who else do you have? Soon you'll be contaminating the young children. Okay. What time is it?
12:52.
Okay. Dina Bandu, you come and lead Kirtan. Come. Okay. Dina Bandu will lead Kirtan.
Yes.